feels like if you really have like a fine tooth comb and you can like go through like the law and everything, you could find so many like little itty bitty wacky loopholes like this. Because what the court is saying is like, well, but did we really give people enough time to look at it? Like, that was a special legislative session and a lot of people early voted. So like, we don't really feel like this follows the spirit of the law. Legal scholars and courts would have the same bewildered reaction as the hypothetical average citizen. Like, here's a question. Let's say Virginia passes a law and they say, we're giving you the election off. Everybody from now on, election day, state holiday, no work. And then let's say half the state starts skipping work starting in September. And then a whole bunch of places of employment sue or some bullshit. Like, yo, what's going on? And then the citizens argue, well, you said we get election day off. Election voting, early voting, starts 2 months earlier. So we think we should get every single day off because every day is the election day. Had the General Assembly intended for general elections to cover multiple days, it would have used a complex preposition such as ending on to indicate. This is such a cancer fucking ruling, dude. Holy shit. This provision deals with compulsion that would cause a voter to lose the opportunity to vote. Some might argue, no, that's bullshit. Why are they adding their own language? It doesn't say that. This is a constitutional law. This is plain English. With the goal of reinstating their gerrymandered map, drew mixed reactions on the call, said the people, and it was not clear that it would even be viable or palatable to Governor Abigail Spanberger and Democrats in the Virginia General Assembly. Replace the whole Supreme Court. That's wild. Who the fuck do you think you are? Republicans? From the Circuit Court of Tazewell County. On March 6, 2026, the General Assembly of Virginia submitted to Virginia voters a proposed constitutional amendment that authorizes partisan gerrymandering of congressional districts in the Commonwealth. We hold that the legislative process employed to advance this proposal violated Article 12, Section 1 of the Constitution of Virginia. This constitutional violation incurably taints the resulting referendum vote and nullifies its legal efficacy. Virginia Constitution. Article 12, that's a lot of articles. Section 1. Any amendment or amendments to this Constitution may be proposed in the Senate or House of Delegates, and if the same shall be agreed to by a majority of the members elected to each of the two houses, such proposed amendments or amendments shall be entered on their journals, the name of each member and how he voted to be recorded and referred to the General Assembly at its first regular session held after the next general election of members of the House of Delegates. If at such regular session or any subsequent special session of that General Assembly, the proposed amendment or amendments shall be agreed to by a majority of all the members elected to each house, then it shall be the duty of the General Assembly to submit such proposed amendment or amendments to the voters qualified to vote in elections by the people in such manner as it shall prescribe and not sooner than 90 days after the final passage by the General Assembly. If a majority of those voting vote in favor of any amendment, it shall become part of the Constitution on the date prescribed by the General Assembly in submitting the amendment to the voters. Did they do the whole assembly and everything else? Let's read. This case comes to us with a historical background. It does not determine the outcome of the legal disputes presently before the court, which are entirely procedural, but it does explain the context in which these disputes have arisen. From Madison's era to the present, political parties of every stripe have offered, if by whiskey, arguments supporting partisan gerrymandering. Since that time until today, these arguments have been criticized by thoughtful jurists and legal scholars. Partisan gerrymanders, Justice Kagan has observed, deprive citizens of the most fundamental of their constitutional rights, the right to participate equally in the political process, to join with others to advance political beliefs, and to choose their political representatives. You know she cummed, citing Kagan here. Brucho v. Common Cause. Echoing Justice Kagan's warning, Professor A.E. Dick Howard advocated that Virginia should amend its constitution to discourage, if not outright prohibit, partisan gerrymandering by the legislature. He trenchantly argued that partisan gerrymandering undermines democracy itself. Many people inveigh against partisan gerrymandering, he observed while advocating for the constitutional amendment to establish Virginia's redistricting commission, but we in Virginia are about to do something about it. A year after that optimistic prediction, Virginians voted by a wide margin to reform the redistricting process in the Commonwealth in an effort to end partisan gerrymandering. They adopted Article 2, Section 6A of the Constitution of Virginia to create the Virginia Redistricting Commission. Under the 2020 amendment, if this bipartisan commission could not reach a consensus, the responsibility to achieve the amendment's ultimate goal, ridding political partisanship as much as possible from the redistricting task, would become the constitutional responsibility of the Supreme Court of Virginia. In 2021, partisan disputes and the Virginia Redistricting Commission deadlocked the 16-member commission. When the task fell to us, pursuant to Article 2, Section 6A, we unanimously ordered that the prior district maps be replaced with wholly new maps that commentators across a wide spectrum of political views later deemed to be free of partisan bias. We understood then, as we do today, that no tenet of free government is more fundamental than fairness in voting and representation. This enduring principle served as the anchoring ideal of Article 2, Section 6A of the Constitution of Virginia, and the ultimate goal of our constitutionally assigned redistricting task. On October 31st, 2025, during a disputed 2024 special session, the General Assembly approved by a party-line vote a proposed amendment to the Constitution of Virginia that would temporarily suspend Article 2, Section 6A. Let's see. Two procedural aspects of the special session are challenged in this case. First, the General Assembly in 2024 applied to the governor for a special legislative session. The application stated that the special session would consider only such matters as are provided for in the procedural resolution for such special session. The procedural resolution did not authorize the General Assembly to propose constitutional amendments and require unanimous consent to consider matters not listed in the procedural resolution. The General Assembly later, on a party-line vote, expanded the scope of the special session to authorize legislative proposals to amend the Constitution of Virginia. Okay, it sounds like they followed the needed procedures, no? In its place, the proposed amendment authorizes the General Assembly to redraw congressional districts outside of the regular decennial census redistricting as a response to other states that also redistrict outside of decennial census redistricting or court-ordered redistricting. The proposed amendment will authorize such redistricting to take effect for the upcoming November 2026 congressional elections. During the 2026 regular session that began in January, the General Assembly again voted by a party line to approve the proposed amendment. In February of 2026, the General Assembly enacted and published a new map for Virginia's 11 congressional districts contingent upon approval of the proposed constitutional amendment by a majority of the voters and upon certification of each of such results. Wait, so they voted again during the regular session? Okay. These new districts replace the existing nonpartisan map representing districts split 6-5 between the two major political parties with a highly partisan gerrymandered map representing expected districts divided 10-1 between the two major political parties. Under the proposed new map, approximately 47% of Virginians that voted for representatives of one of the major political parties in the last congressional election would now be represented by 9% of Virginia's delegation to the U.S. House of Representatives, while the approximately 51% of Virginians that voted for the other major political party would now be represented by 91% of Virginia's congressional delegation. The General Assembly first submitted the proposed constitutional amendment to Virginia voters on March 6, 2026, the first day of early voting. The submission was accompanied by a ballot asking voters to answer yes or no to the question whether they wanted to restore fairness in the upcoming congressional elections. Voting started on March 6th and ended on April 21st. The total number of all votes, approximately 45%, were cast during the early voting period, and approximately 55% were cast on the final day of the election. The Virginia Department of Elections reported on April 30th that 1.6 million Virginians had cast yes in response to the Restore Fairness ballot question, and 1.5 million Virginians had cast no votes. Approximately 3.38% of the total votes separated the number of yes votes and no votes. And thus, the majority will of the people was secured by yes voters, representing 1.69% of the total votes cast. Man, they're real ass-pained about the numbers here. Sounds like you should change the entire process of doing an amendment if a simple majority isn't enough for you. They are super fucking ass-pained. The judges hate this. They hate this so much ass-pained, but okay. In a constitutional republic, it is emphatically the province and duty of the judicial department to say what the law is. Marbury v. Madison, our judicial review case. Chief Justice Marshall learned this truth 2 decades earlier from his former law professor, another Virginian, we love her, George Wythe. Sitting in our seat of judgment in 1782, Judge Wythe, I'm guessing that's how it's pronounced, laid down the two cornerstones of judicial review, the duty to declare the constitutional boundaries of political power, its width, okay, and the courage to fearlessly protect them. His admonition was timeless. If the whole legislature, an event to be deprecated, should attempt to overleap the bounds prescribed to them by the people, I, in administering the public justice of the country, will meet the united powers at my seat in this tribunal, and, pointing to the Constitution, will say to them, here is the limit of your authority, and hither shall you go, but no further. Signed, Judge Dredd. Consistent with this Virginia tradition, the Judiciary Department has the power, and it is its duty to pass upon the validity of a constitutional enactment when put in force by legally questionable means. The Constitution, by its very nature, declares under what circumstances and in what manner it shall be amended, and it is the supreme law of the land to which all persons, rulers, as well as citizens, must bow in obedience. Commentaries on the It follows that the judiciary has the ultimate authority to determine the validity of the proposal, submission, or ratification of constitutional amendments, where restrictions are imposed in the Constitution by express language or necessary implication upon the power of the General Assembly. The restrictions may not be ignored. It is fair to ask whether we could have or should have reviewed the constitutionality of the proposed amendment prior to it being presented to the voters, but it is not a question the Commonwealth should ask. Okay.
We'll tell you what to ask.
Throughout this litigation, the Commonwealth has insisted that we cannot lawfully decide this case prior to the referendum. In its motion for a stay in this case, the Commonwealth argued that longstanding Virginia precedent, Scott B. James, was virtually indistinguishable from this case, and that it clearly held that courts cannot interfere to stop any of the proceedings while this permanent law is in the process of being made, and only upon the completion of the proceedings, if the validity of the amendment is assailed on the ground that the several provisions of the Constitution have not been complied with, then the courts can pass upon the validity of the amendment. The Commonwealth concluded that the lesson is clear. Courts may not preemptively invalidate a proposed constitutional amendment before it has been passed by the voters. Scott makes clear that the process of amending the Constitution is not complete until the voters approve or reject the amendment. Emphasis on original, quoting, what year is this? I wonder if this was before the voters voted or whatever bullshit. I don't know. I'm curious. What is this? Scott v. what? Scott v. James. Damn, this is a 1912 case?
Jesus.
Judicial powers. Encroachment on legislature. Neither courts of equity nor any other tribunal of the judicial department will interfere with the process of legislation so that the Secretary of the Commonwealth will not be enjoined at the suit of a taxpayer from resubmitting to a vote of the people proposed amendments pursuant to this general on the ground that such an act was unconstitutional. Equity will not, as a rule, enjoin the holding of an election, and an injunction will not issue to restrain the Secretary of the Commonwealth from sending out to county clerks as required by Section 5 thereof copies of the act approved providing for the resubmission to a vote of the people of amendments instituted the suit to enjoin the resubmission to a vote of the people of the proposed amendments of Section 119 and 120 of the Constitution in relation respectively to the commissioners. The prayer of the bill was for an injunction restraining appellee B.O. James, the Secretary of the Commonwealth, from sending out copies of the said act to the clerks of each county and municipal corporation of the state in the state, as he was required to do by the fifth section of the on the ground of the General Assembly in passing said act exceeded its constitutional authority and the steps prescribed for the amendment of the Constitution had not been complied with, and that the act, therefore, conferred no authority upon the appellee to perform the duties sought to be enjoined. The cause was heard in the lower court upon the bill, and the demurrer and answer of appellee thereto, and the learned judge of that court was of the opinion that the question of the constitutionality of the act the General Assembly complained of in the bill was prematurely raised, and that the court was without jurisdiction at that time to pass on the question for the reasons, one, that the court had no power to arrest or interfere with the process of legislation, and two, that it had no power to enjoin the holding of an election. Upon it, this seems okay. Wait, this citation does seem good then. So it seems like this case was basically arguing, can somebody sue the Secretary of the State and then seek an injunction, enjoin them from putting up to a vote some constitutional amendment because a citizen or somebody has decided that that constitutional amendment is not fair or wasn't followed or arrived at in a constitutional way. And this court said, no, you can't sue somebody in the process of making during the legislative process. You can't do that. So, okay. So this does seem like a fair, regardless, but the validity of the amendment. Okay. Okay. The grounds that the separate provision of the Constitution should not be complied with, and then the courts can pass upon the validity of the amendment. Okay. The Commonwealth concluded that the lesson is clear. Courts may not. Okay. Okay. Having successfully insisted over the objection of the claimants that we postpone judicial review of the constitutional amendment until after the election process, it might be tempting for the Commonwealth to think that the final vote implicitly stacks the deck in its favor, perhaps enough so that the exercise of any judicial review could be viewed as an ultra vires effort to overturn the will of the people. If this supposition were true, that Scott forbids pre-election challenges and that the will of the people forbids post-election challenges, then judicial review of allegedly unconstitutional procedures used to adopt a constitutional amendment would not exist in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Okay. On the issues before us in this case, we hold that the ultimate vote margin plays no role in the analytics of our judicial review of the constitutionality of the pre-election constitutional amendment process. Neither a high margin of success nor a single-digit margin logically or legally matters, as we earlier explained. It cannot be overstated that Scott focused only on the timing of the exercise of judicial injunctive remedies, not on a court's constitutional power of judicial review. To be sure, Scott emphasized the Judiciary Department has the power, and it is the duty to pass upon the validity of a constitutional enactment when put in force, as well as upon the validity of an act of the legislature regularly passed and put in effect. If the electorate rejects the proposed amendment, any pending legal proceedings will be dismissed as moot. If the electorate approves the proposed amendment, we must then exercise our constitutional duty to review lower court's declaratory judgments before us on appeal and address de novo what equitable remedies, if any, are appropriate. Okay. Article 12, Section 1 of the Constitution of Virginia mandates a detailed process governing the lawful adoption of constitutional amendments. These procedural requirements may seem laborious laborious to some, perhaps even painstakingly so. The ambition of a constitution, James Madison said, is to create a government for perpetuity, grounded by permanent principles and not on those of a temporary nature. Debates of the Virginia Convention, June 12, 1788, reprinted in blah, 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 blah. For this reason, amending the Constitution necessitates compliance with the requirements of a deliberately lengthy, precise, and balanced procedure. Strict compliance with these mandatory provisions is required in order that all proposed constitutional amendments shall receive the deliberate consideration and careful scrutiny that they deserve. The opening sentence of Article 12, Section 1 states the first requirement for the non-convention method of amending the Constitution of Virginia. In pertinent part, it provides any amendment or amendments to this Constitution may be proposed in the Senate or House of Delegates, and if the same shall be agreed, blah, 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 we read this already. Under this provision, the General Assembly can propose amendments but cannot adopt them. The inverse is also true. Virginia voters can adopt or reject amendments but cannot propose them. This constitutional amendment process of dividing power between the people and their politicians has withstood the test of time for more than 100 years, and it has remained so for the half century since Coleman. To guard against hasty changes to the Commonwealth's organic law, Section 1 also slow walks the constitutional amendment process. The General Assembly must twice vote in favor of a proposed amendment at two separate legislative sessions with an intervening election of the House of Delegates. That gives voters two opportunities, one indirect, the other direct, to voice their views on the proposed amendment. The first is during the intervening election period between the two legislative sessions. Voters can support or defeat candidates for the House of Delegates who either endorse or oppose the proposed amendment. I have a really bad feeling. Where are my legal people? Am I going to agree with this ruling? I feel like I am. One thing I didn't know before reading this was I didn't know that they had the redistricting shit. I didn't know that was a fucking constitutional amendment that they had. I just assumed it was a law and that the General Assembly had like voted to change the law or something. How many states put the gerrymandering shit or the anti-gerrymandering stuff? How many of those people put that in their fucking constitution? Destiny, literally everything is a constitutional amendment. In Virginia? Virginia has no laws? There's no legal code in Virginia. It's all constitutional amendments? Every single state with a commission is in the constitution. Okay. Sounds like the way I wrote code in college. Legal code, Virginia. I mean, I know there must be laws in this state, obviously. There's no way that it's just a constitution. That wouldn't make any sense. If the General Assembly votes against it, blah, 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 the General Assembly, okay. Good one, Mouton. Nice.
Sorry.
Nice.
Sorry.
The reasoning behind this, Delegate Slaughter stated in 1969 during the General Assembly's debates over the later 1971 amendments to the Virginia Constitution, is that Constitution should not be changed lightly. Not only would there be an intervening House of Delegates election, where you might be able to get the sentiment of the people on an amendment you had acted upon previously, but upon reflection, the General Assembly might decide not to submit the amendment. In this case, voting in the general election for the House of Delegates began on September 19th, 2025, and ended on election day, November 4th, 2025. The General Assembly voted for the first time to propose a constitutional amendment to the electorate on October 31st, 2025. By that date, over 1.3 million votes had been cast in the general election, which was approximately 40% of the total vote for the election cycle. The Commonwealth sees nothing wrong with this sequencing because, under its interpretation, the term general election in Article 12, Section 1 only means the last day of the election. Bruh, this is the true legal pedophilia. So it sounds like what they're saying is, check this out. In Virginia, okay, if you want to get an amendment passed, it has to make it, I think, through both houses of your assembly, your state body, right? Both of these houses, okay, have to agree.
Yeah.
And then after that, now both of your new houses, because it has to make it through one term, both of your new houses have to agree, and the population has to vote on it. I'm putting 100% here for agree. It doesn't have to be 100%, but right. And the population has to vote on it, okay?
Got it.
And the reason why this is so good is because the citizens get two different checks on the amendment. Firstly, they have, when this second election occurs, the second election is happening and the population is voting for the people in the state assembly. So maybe they really don't like the amendment, so they vote for different people in that assembly, right? And then also, once the assembly is convened, maybe the assembly doesn't put up the proposed amendment for vote to the people. And also, maybe when the population votes on the amendment, or sorry, down here, the population doesn't approve it. So in this way, the population gets two big checks. One, when they elect members of the second legislative session here, and then two, when they actually vote on the amendment itself.
So normally this is pretty good.
Well, it gives you a lot of checks. Yeah. However, it seems like when I say election, what I'm saying is election day. And that's what the law seems to say, or that was the understanding of election day. However, there is early voting. So what happened here was this proposition or this amendment to the Constitution was put up for early voting, which would have happened before they voted, I guess, or before the new members of the legislature were seated. Meaning it's not counting
election. Get it in then again?
Well, actually, yeah, I don't understand though. But that shouldn't matter. Because the population still gets to vote on the new legislative assembly. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Because this legislative assembly is the one that put it up to a vote, not the new legislative assembly, I guess. Yeah. And the new legislative assembly hadn't been elected yet by the population, so they're saying that they missed the second check or whatever, kind of.
So
because of early voting.
You have to wait for the next election.
Basically, yeah. They're saying because of early voting, yeah. Whew, Jesus. In this case, voting in the general election for the House of Delegates began on September 19th and ended on Election Day. November 4th, the General Assembly voted for the first time to propose the constitutional amendment to the electorate on October 31st, between September and November. By that date, over 1.3 million votes had been cast in the general election, which was approximately 40% of the total vote for that election cycle. The Commonwealth sees nothing wrong with the sequencing because, under its interpretation, the term general election in Article 12, Section 1 only means the last day of the election, November 4th, otherwise known as Election Day. Because Election Day was 4 days after the October 31st vote to propose the constitutional amendment to Virginia voters, the Commonwealth concludes that there was an intervening election between the 2024 special session, which included the first legislative vote for the constitutional amendment, and the later 2026 regular session, which included the second legislative vote. In other words, under the Commonwealth's view, the 4-day period, which included a weekend, was the intervening period during which Virginia voters could find out what the proposed amendment actually said, whether their preferred candidate supported or opposed it, and whether they wanted to use their vote to express a view on the subject. This view appears to be wholly unprecedented in Virginia's history. In the half century since adoption of Virginia's 1971 Constitution, the General Assembly has approved 63 amendments for placement on the ballot, and voters have ratified 54 of them. Of the 63 proposals, the Commonwealth has identified none in which the General Assembly passed a proposed amendment after voting in the general election had already begun. Damn. It's like so, this is the type of shit I'm saying where it feels like if you really have like a fine tooth comb and you can like go through like the law and everything, you could find so many like little itty bitty wacky loopholes like this, because it kind of sounds like technically like this would be the exact opposite of an Alito reading, right? Like it sounds like technically they actually followed the letter of the law, but it sounds like what the court is saying is like, well, but did we really give people enough time to look at it? Like that was a special legislative session and a lot of people early voted. So like, we don't really feel like this follows the spirit of the law, you know?
But yeah, so they got fucked because
basically, yes,
they followed the law, but not, you know,
but not like the spirit of the law.
The spirit of it, yeah. The spirit of it is you need two sessions to come in, right?
Yes, but they had two sessions, but they started voting on this before the next legislative session had been seated. The population did, basically, yeah.
But would that even matter?
Would what even matter?
I mean, the check is to give the population like two or three times to say, like, we don't want X thing, right? They voted people in.
The argument is that you get two checks on it, basically. The argument is they're saying that, well, you can vote on a person in the assembly based on whether or not you think they would support the amendment. However, the voting for the General Assembly had opened on September 19th and ended on November 4th, but the proposed constitutional amendment was in October 31st. So it was between that. So what these people would argue is they would say, well, what if you would have changed your vote for a particular politician had they not supported that amendment? However, one question I would have is, can you not just vote after mail-in voting?
I think usually you can just go in and then you can like change
for federal elections. I'm pretty sure you can in any state. I wonder if in state elections, could you, if you really hated that, couldn't you just go in and vote in person and that would override your mail-in vote?
So when is the next time they can do this?
In Virginia,
can they do a special election? Or
well, it sounds
it
like they could. It sounds like they could submit it now, but they're going to have to wait for the next legislative session to do it, which would be in what is that in 2 years?
Yeah. So after
problem troll
November,
face
huh?
In Virginia, can you vote in person after mail in after early voting? Oh, actually, wait. If you early vote in person, can you vote in person on the same day?
Again, I would assume not. How many retards are changing their vote from fucking early voting to actual voting day? I wonder how often this happens.
Probably not many, but
enlightened mind changers, yeah. You know, I don't actually like this guy. I'm gonna swap.
Election of members of the House of Delegates. If at such regular session or any subsequent special session of that General Assembly, the proposed amendment or amendments shall be agreed to by a majority of all the members elected to each house, And it should be the duty of the General Assembly to submit such proposals. Okay, hold on. If the same should be agreed by majority members elected to each of the houses, such proposed amendment or amendment shall be entered on their journals, the name of each member and how they voted, referred to the General Assembly at its first regular session held after the next general election of members of the House of Delegates. Oh, man, bro, that's rough. Yeah.
2 years, I guess.
I mean, by letter of the law, I feel like that they were fine with their process, but the early voting thing just kind of like...
cucked them.
A little bit, yeah. It's a felony to do that. Well, so this says any person who wrongfully deposits a ballot in the ballot container or casts a vote in any voting equipment is guilty of a class one misdemeanor. Any person who intentionally votes more than once in the same election, whether those votes are cast in Virginia or any other state, territory, procures a sister. The way that this works is like... fuck, I don't know if it's like this for every state, but you don't actually vote multiple times when you vote multiple times. It's that the first ballot that you cast is like considered like a provisional ballot. And then if you show up and you vote again in person, it's like saying, ignore that provisional ballot. This is my actual vote.
But this is my actual shit.
Yeah, you're not actually voting twice. It's a provisional ballot that's the first. But I don't know if it's like that in every state. I know that in some states you can do that. You can do a mail-in ballot, but then you can show up in person and vote, and the mail-in ballot will be just disregarded. But I don't know if it's like that in every state. I'm not sure. It looks like for state elections, it counts as an official ballot when you vote early. Oh, wait. The next ballot is provisional, not... don't know, don't care. It doesn't matter for this. All right. Because election day was 4 days after the October 31st vote to propose the constitutional amendment to Virginia voters, the Commonwealth concludes that there was an intervening election between the 2024 special session, which included the first legislative vote for the constitutional amendment, and the later 2026 regular session, which included the second legislative vote. In other words, under the Commonwealth's view, the 4-day period, which included a weekend, they're real ass pained, was the intervening period during which Virginia voters could find out what the proposed amendment actually said, whether their preferred candidate supported or opposed it, and whether they wanted to use their vote to express a view on the subject. This view appears to be wholly unprecedented in Virginia's history. Doesn't matter. Okay. As for the 1.3 million or so Virginians in this case who had voted before October 31st, the Commonwealth concedes that the clear purpose of the intervening election requirement was to provide them with a constitutionally protected opportunity to elect the House of Delegates that will participate in the second legislative vote on the proposed amendment. But early voters squandered that opportunity, the Commonwealth contends, by accepting the Commonwealth's invitation to cast their votes during the 42 days of voting prior to the 4-day period between October 31st and November 4th. Under this thesis, early Virginia voters unknowingly forfeited their constitutionally protected opportunity to vote for or against delegates who favor or disfavor amending the Constitution by not anticipating a legislative vote on a constitutional amendment 4 days before the last day of voting. I mean, like, I feel like I could kind of get this. I feel like I would be warmer to the court's rationale here if there wasn't also a popular vote for the amendment itself. I think that hurts the rationale here. I think we're being a little wacky here. Like, if there was no popular vote and they were proposing this amendment and then you voted for a legislator and you wouldn't have wanted this amendment, but now you support a guy and you didn't know it, I don't know. I don't know about that one. That was the Dems' theory and why the court didn't hear the legality of the initial vote before the referendum. Well, it sounds like they couldn't interrupt the initial vote because of precedent, that Scott v. James case, which seems fair, but they weren't able to rule on this before the referendum. Or if they are, I don't know what they're citing to that would allow them to do that. That seems like why they shouldn't. To be sure, under the Commonwealth's logic, the legislative vote could just as well have been one day before. So anything that gets passed must be passed before election day. When did they vote on the amendment, though? Was that on... No. When did the population vote? March 6th to April. Oh, because that vote wasn't even part of this as well either. Oh, fuck. Oh, bruh. That's nasty. Ooh, this was a nasty court. Because the vote for the amendment would have happened. Yeah. Damn.
See you in 2 years.
I don't even like the spirit of the law of this double check. Like, if the citizens don't like it, they could vote for a different representative. But like, also we have a direct vote on it too. And like,
well,
both
if they don't
checks,
like it, they just would vote no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's why this seems like kind of a goofy... This seems a little goofy, I think. The Commonwealth's position finds no support from the text of Article 12, Section 1, or the historical meaning of the term election. Fuck, hold on. The more I'm thinking about this, the more I disagree with this. Hold on. Such regular session or any subsequent special session that proposed amendment shall be agreed to the majority of all members of the House, then it shall be the duty of the General Assembly to submit such proposed amendment or amendments to the voters qualified to vote in elections by the people in such a manner as it shall prescribe, and not sooner than not. Actually, hold on. I'm trying to see if I can save this, because I'm getting really, 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 really far in the other direction. But I hadn't thought about this before, because I thought, like, I just didn't think about this, because I was thinking, like, well, like, if you vote and then there's, like, an amendment proposed, but you've already voted, that's kind of shitty. But the vote for the amendment, this is, like, a whole year later. There's nothing in this law here that can be construed at, because what the what the judiciary is saying here is, we don't think you should be able to propose amendments to the Constitution in the early voting period. That's the law that this judiciary has created, right? Am I incorrect on that? It sounds like the judiciary is saying, you're not, whoa, excuse me. Did you just do early voting on a candidate? No more amendments. You cannot propose an amendment if you've already begun early voting. That sounds like a new law that's being written by this court, which finds absolutely zero basis in, at least what I can see, in Virginia Constitution and probably not Virginia law. That sounds bullshit. That sounds retarded. Destiny, that is the law? What do you mean? Where? Show me. Destiny, wait, but shouldn't they have a duty to notify or something if they propose something after early voting already happened? No. I'm sorry. Let me draw this more clearly now. Fuck, hold on. This is feeling worse and worse. I'm so sorry. What you have is your first legislature that's elected. If you want to propose an amendment, okay, the legislature needs, it needs to be two different assemblies. We'll say two different Congresses, basically, have to submit this and say and vote yes, okay? So we had a special session here. They said yes. Then we had a special session here, and they also said yes, okay? Then, 1 year later, basically, you have the population vote, and the population said yes, okay? So you have your first legislative session, they say yes. Your second legislative session, they say yes. And then your population votes, and they say yes. This is what happened, okay? However, what this court is saying is, well, hold on. You submitted this amendment, okay, after early voting for this legislative session had begun. So in actuality, you bypassed this requirement because early voting was already open for this state assembly. So it's not fair that people already voted before the amendment was proposed to the legislative session. Not that you had to vote on the amendment yet. The vote on the amendment hadn't happened. We're not voting on this until like a year after this. Or not a year after, but a... hold on, I'm sorry. I'm a little bit long on the time. But on November 4th, 2025, okay? So this election, the final date was November 4th, 2025. And then the vote on the gerrymandering was... When did they vote on the gerrymandering? Virginia vote gerrymander... Fuck. Somebody said April 21st, 2026. So you have your, so you have to have it, you have to have two different Congresses pass the amendment. This one did, and then this one did. Then you can put it up to a vote to the population. The population is over here, and then they passed it, right? So this legislative session began, or the final day to vote for them was November 4th. And then the population voted on this for voted on the amendment on April 21st, 2026, okay?
Mm-hmm.
However, what the court is saying here is that voting for the members of this Congress had already begun before, wait, the early voting for this Congress had already begun before this amendment here had been suggested and adopted by this Congress. That's the issue. Does that make sense?
Yep, yeah, makes Jesus. Sense.
Okay, so early voting began on September 19th, for this legislative session. And then on October, an amendment was proposed that this legislature approved. Okay. And then voting closed on November 4th for this legislature. They all got elected. They also approved it. And then they put it up to a general vote on April 21st, 2026. But the judiciary is saying, because the elections for this Congress, because the elections for this state assembly had opened early, okay, before this one had adopted the new amendment, because the amendment wasn't proposed until midway through these elections, then that makes it not count, okay? Jesus, fuck, okay.
Yeah, it seems pretty retarded.
Yeah, this is the argument, okay? You need to explain why their understanding of election starting from the point of early voting is incorrect. Well, because I don't think early voting is not the election. I don't see any references to when you vote in the Constitution of Virginia. Any amendment, we'll read this one more time, so now we have a more thorough understanding, okay? Any amendment or amendments to this Constitution may be proposed in the state or House of Delegates, and if the same shall be agreed to by a majority of the members elected to each of the two houses, such proposed amendment or amendments shall be entered on their journals, the name of each member and how he voted to be recorded, and referred to the General Assembly at its first regular session held after the next general election of members of the House of Delegates. So after the election is over, it doesn't say anything here about, like, you can't even propose it until like early. I don't see anything about early voting or when to vote or whatever else. Just after the next election is over, then the new people that come in, if at such a regular session or any subsequent special session of that General Assembly, the proposed amendment or amendment shall be agreed to by a majority of all the members elected to each house, then it shall be the duty of the General Assembly to submit such proposed amendment or amendments to the voters qualified to vote in elections by the people. Where do you see anything here about, like, as the people vote or during the votes or anything? I just see after the election. By the letter of the law, seems to have been applied. That was the election, right?
So could people take this to the Supreme Court?
No, definitely not.
No, you're just cooked.
This is very much a state's issue deciding how they
states' rights
do their thing. Yeah, are they not referring to the election? I mean, it doesn't matter what they refer to. This is just saying after the election, and refer to the General Assembly at its first regular session held after the next general election. After the next general election, not after the start, or once a new election has started, or once new early voting has started, or once the new. I can understand the desire to read it that way, and it might even be kind of fair, maybe, I guess, to have a provision like that, but that's not in here. That's just not found in the text of this anywhere. That's not, you're putting something, you're legislating from the bench. You're kind of adding something because you don't really like the way that the law is written here. You don't like the way that, you don't like the way the Constitution is written here. The Dems are bringing this to the U.S. Supreme Court. On what possible grounds could the U.S. Supreme Court fight with the Supreme Court of a state in determining how they interpret their own constitution? No, that just seems crazy to me. Well, actually, I guess it depends on what grounds they're appealing. If they appeal on some kind of federal ground, but under this thesis, early Virginia voters unknowingly forfeited their constitutionally protected opportunity to vote for or against delegates who favor or disfavor amending the constitution by not anticipating a legislative vote on a constitutional amendment 4 days before the last day of voting. But they still got to vote on the amendment. This is goofy. I think this is goofy. To be sure, under the Commonwealth's logic, the legislative vote could just as well have been one day before, arguing that Election Day is the election, so anything that gets passed must be passed before Election Day. The Commonwealth's position finds no support from the text of Article 12, Section 1, or the historical meaning of the term election. The predecessor, okay, I'll be curious if they cite anything in support of that statement. The predecessor of Article 12, Section 1, first appeared in the 1870 Constitution of Virginia. That constitution set forth a 3-month publication requirement prior to the intervening election that also used the expression time of making such choice to describe the next general election required by the provision to occur between the first and second legislative votes proposing a constitutional amendment. See Virginia Constitution, Article 12, 1870. The 1902 and 1928 constitutions replaced time of making such choice in the publication clause with the time of such election. The Constitution removed the pre-publication requirement, thus leaving the next general election to reference the intervening election requirement. Not one of these expressions since the constitutional amendment provision was first included in 1870 categorically limited the definition of election to a single day. Well, I feel like this hurts your argument, though. So you're saying that they had an explicit 90-day pre-publication requirement. The 1971 Constitution removed the pre-publication requirement. But you're saying that the phrase that they left, we should just assume that it includes basically kind of this thing? I don't know. Feels kind of goofy. Feels a little bit goofy, I think.
Feels goofy, man.
Also, I don't know why they keep saying categorically limited the definition of election to a single day. It sounds like this is just saying after the election. I don't know. Before evaluating the exegesis. Before evaluating the exegesis of the term election by legal scholars and courts, it is worth observing that the Commonwealth's view would be unrecognizable to the average citizen. That perspective should not be scorned, but praised. As we've repeatedly said, the words of a constitution are to be understood in the sense in which they are popularly employed, unless the context or the very nature of the subject indicates otherwise, and thus we are guided by the principle that the constitution was written to be understood by the voters. Okay, but like, that's kind of a weird perspective to take when the voters voted in favor of the amendment, no? It's kind of weird that you began the intro to this. On the outset of this opinion, they were so quick to cast as like, well, they only won by 3 points. Well, there's only blah, blah, blah. And now they're like, but we should understand how the average voter would understand it. We should understand how the average person would understand it, right? Also, I would argue this is fucking retarded. The Constitution is incredibly complicated, and to try to pretend that average citizens can understand that shit is fucking wild. If the average person could understand this shit in plain language, why the fuck would we even have judicial review? We wouldn't need God whisperers to tell us what the secret holy words of the relic of the Constitution says. We would just read it ourselves in plain English. You can argue that, like, criminal law is simple and should be simply read, because we're all, you know, crimes and stuff are important, but the Constitution? I don't know. This all sounds fucking retarded to me. With that perspective, imagine one of the over 1 million Virginians who had voted in person before Election Day in 2025 walking into a polling place. The voter says to the officer of the election, "I am here to vote in the election." The officer of election responds, "We are not conducting an election here." "But that's why I'm here," the voter replies. "Maybe so, but let me explain," the officer of election insists. "You can vote in the election, but we are not conducting an election today. Elections are only conducted on election day. Legal scholars and courts would have... But just because the election's not happening today... In fact, I feel like... Fuck! I don't want to be biased and just say that I feel like I remember this, but, like, I feel like I've heard the phrase, "You can cast an early ballot, but all votes are counted on election day." I feel like I've heard that over and over and over and over again. The only time we open ballots and count the votes are on election day. I feel like I've heard that language so much, especially in regards to the 2020 election. I don't think anybody would be confused by this at all. Oh, you can cast a ballot now. Oh, is the election today? No, you can cast a ballot for the election, though. It'll be counted on election day. I don't know. This is all fucking retarded to me. I don't know about this one, Chief. Legal scholars and courts would have the same bewildered reaction as the hypothetical average citizen. Like, here's a question. Let's say Virginia passes a law and they say, "We're giving you the election off. Everybody, from now on, election day, state holiday, no work." And then let's say half the state starts skipping work starting in September, and then a whole bunch of places of employment sue or some bullshit. Like, "Yo, what's going on?" And then the citizens argue, "Well, you said we get election day off." Election voting, early voting, starts 2 months earlier. So we think we should get every single day off, because every day is the election day. Legal scholars and courts would have the same bewildered reaction as the hypothetical average citizen. The definition of election has always broadly denoted the act of choosing, quoting a dictionary from 1755, altering archaic spelling, okay, and Noah Webster, an American Dictionary of the English Language, 646, 1828. Most, if not all, law lexicons, actually, I'm curious, when does Virginia count its ballots? Are they counted early or... The Virginia Department of Elections ensures your vote is cast and counted in an accurate and timely manner, whether you vote early in person, by mail, or on election day. Oh, look at that. It's right there. Oh, they do have election day. You can vote on a day that's not election day. Oh, crazy. Okay. This is good memes. This lexical sense of the noun election must be distinguished from the noun phrase election day. Ooh. The near universal definition of election day is a single day established by law for voters to cast ballots by presenting themselves in person at a voting precinct. Giving both terms their intended meanings, Black's Law Dictionary correctly observes, in jurisdictions that allow in-person voting, election day is normally the last day on which voters may cast a ballot in a given election. The semantic differences between these terms have a rich provenance. Oh boy. Beginning in colonial days, it was common in Virginia and other colonies for elections to last for days as election officials, usually sheriffs, canvassed the countryside to collect votes during elections. In the royal colonies alone was the English system of taking the poll adopted that called for an oral vote or a show of hands to decide the result. If any candidate or voter demanded it, a poll must be taken. Following the English tradition, voting in an early American election continued until all the electors had been heard from or until the closing of the polls had been thrice proclaimed from the court house door. In other American colonies, eligible voters sent their votes by proxy to prevent the danger and damage that might result from them leaving their land to vote in the election or to save them the inconvenience and trouble required by a journey to the capital town. These proxy votes, the precursor to today's absentee mail ballots, were in writing and sealed, and deputies selected by the local voters would take them to the court of election. Okay, but they got rid of, I'm on page 18. Why did they get rid of the, I wonder if there was anything written here. The replacement of the 90-day pre-publication period. What were they citing to for that? Article 12, Section 1, first appeared in the 1870 Constitution of Virginia. That constitution sets forth a 3-month publication requirement prior to time is a choice to describe the next general election required by the provision. The publication clause with the time of such election remove the pre-publication requirement, thus leaving only the phrase, okay, the 1971. See debates of the House of Delegates, supernote 16 at 496. Oh, God. Am I going to be able to find this? Commentaries on the Constitution of Virginia, page at 496. This, do I need more of this? There's no world where I can actually find.
I'm going to bed. Good night.
Be careful. Don't die.
Yep.
I'm just curious what the conversation was about the, if there could have been any more, if they could have illuminated any more for why they removed that requirement from the Constitution. But so about the historical practice of permitting defined time frames for casting and receiving votes in elections by the varying duration of the election process over time. One constant has persisted from time immemorial. An election to public office has been in point, if a point of substance no more, no less than the expression by qualified electors of their choice of candidates. When the law speaks of an election, it plainly refers to the combined actions of voters and officials meant to make a final selection of an office holder. The combined actions that define the term election include citizens casting votes from the beginning of the early voting period until election day, and the officers of election receiving these votes, closing the polls on election day, which in jurisdictions permitting early in-person voting, the American Law Institute correctly explains, is the last day on which voters may cast a ballot on that particular election. Early voting is one of the combined actions of the election. When it recognizes that early voting is casting a ballot to be counted on election day, when governing law authorizes citizens to cast ballots over a time period, the durational term election and the determinate term election day fit together perfectly. The meets and bounds of an election begin with the point of casting votes and end with the point of receiving votes and closing the polls on last day. Election day is the boundary marker for the last act constituting election. Okay. Is the rest of this just arguing over the noun phrase general election in Article 12, Section 1 is not the same as the verb phrase shall be elected in Article 4, Section 3. The former textually denotes the cumulative actions of voters casting votes and election officials receiving those votes. The later textually denotes a single day, or the latter textually denotes a single day, election day, at the conclusion of which all votes cast legally declare the ultimate winner. This material variation connotes a variation in meaning. Okay, cringe, don't care. Oh, is there a dissent? A dissenting opinion? How many judges was this? Three? Oh, seven judges, 4-3. Chief Justice Powell, with whom Justice Mann and Justice Fulton join, dissenting. This court has long recognized that our Constitution is certain and fixed. It contains the permanent will of the people, and therefore its meaning can only be altered by the people. Notwithstanding this bedrock principle, today the majority has broadened the meaning of the word election, as used in the Virginia Constitution, to include the early voting period. This is in direct conflict with how both Virginia and federal law define an election. Under the facts of this case, I believe the circuit court erred, and I respectfully disagree with the majority's conclusion that the General Assembly did not strictly comply with Virginia's constitutional requirements. For this reason, I must respectfully dissent. According to the majority, the General Assembly violated the intervening election requirement in Article 12, Section 1 of the Virginia Constitution by passing a proposed constitutional amendment for the first time after early voters had begun casting their ballots during the 2025 general election. For the next legislative body, not for the amendment. Remember that. It's not like they casted an early vote, so now they couldn't vote for the amendment. That's what this kind of sounded like. That's what I kind of thought. That's not the case. It was just for the next set of legislators for the next elective session. That's what, for the next legislative session, okay? Although Article 4, Section 3 mandates that delegates shall be elected on the Tuesday succeeding the first Monday in November, the majority takes the position that there is a material variation between shall be elected and the general election described in Article 12, Section 1. It reasons that, unlike the single day on which a delegate is elected, a general election is not a fixed day. Instead, they conclude that an election is a cumulative process encompassing the combined actions of voters casting ballots and officers receiving those votes that begins on the first day of early voting and ends on election day. By focusing on the legislative history, dictionary definitions, and how legal scholars might interpret the term election, the majority fails to apply the most basic tenet of interpretation of constitutional provisions, looking to the language of the Constitution itself. The general rule is that unless the Constitution, either expressly or by necessary implication, inhibits the General Assembly from providing how a voter shall exercise his right to vote, its power is absolute. If there be no restraint, the General Assembly unquestionably has the power to determine the manner of conducting and making returns of elections. The framers of the Virginia Constitution, however, were not content to leave this question to be controlled by this general rule, but have specifically, expressly recognized and emphasized this power and directed the General Assembly to exercise it. The express recognition of the General Assembly's power to determine the time and manner of conducting elections is found in Article 2, Section 4 of the Virginia Constitution. The General Assembly shall provide for the nomination of candidates, shall regulate the time, manner, place, conduct, and administration of primary, general, and special elections, and shall have power to make any other law regulating elections not inconsistent with this Constitution. The General Assembly, in turn, has exercised this power through Title 24.2 of the Code of Virginia. Under Code Section 24.2-101, the General Assembly specifically defined a general election as an election held in the Commonwealth on the Tuesday after the first Monday in November, emphasis added. The use of the simple preposition on to form the prepositional phrase on the Tuesday after the Monday in November definitively establishes that the General Assembly intended to exercise its constitutional power and limit general elections to a single day. Had the General Assembly intended for general elections to cover multiple days, it would have used a complex preposition, such as ending on, to indicate... This is such a cancer fucking ruling, dude. Holy shit. It would have used a complex preposition, such as ending on, to indicate that an election started at some earlier point in time, rather than occurring solely on the Tuesday after the first Monday in November. However, we regularly reject invitations to read into a statute language that is not there because of the long-established rule that courts cannot add language to a statute the General Assembly has not seen fit to include. True. The General Assembly did not define a general election as an election ending on a specific day. It said that a general election is an election held on a specific day. When the language of a statute is unambiguous, we are bound by the plain meaning of that language. This is like a, it says 27. I'm pretty sure this is a cornerstone of like reading constitutional law, right? When the language, when the text is clear and unambiguous, you follow the text. Moreover, it is highly informative that the General Assembly adopted a statutory definition of general election in 1970 when it was debating the 1971 amendments to the Virginia Constitution. Tellingly, the relevant portion of that definition is identical to the present day definition of general election. Any election held in the Commonwealth on the Tuesday after the first Monday in November. As this court has long recognized, the legislative construction of a constitutional provision is entitled to consideration, and if the construction be contemporaneous with adoption of the constitutional provision, it is entitled to great weight. Taken as a whole, Code 24.2.101 clearly establishes that the General Assembly, in the exercise of its constitutional power to determine the time and manner of conducting elections, chose to limit elections to a single day. Just to break this phrase down, I believe when they say legislative construction, which means how does the legislature read the Constitution, I believe, legislative construction of a constitutional provision is entitled to consideration, and if the construction be contemporaneous with the adoption of the constitutional provision, it is entitled to great weight. So let's say that the Constitution were to say, on Friday, we party, okay? And let's say that that was adopted in 1950. Let's say that in 1951, the Congress were to pass a law saying, on all days that are like when we party, we do cocaine or some shit or whatever, right? They would say, okay, well, the constitutional amendment was passed then, and then the legislature passed a law, you know, the next year. And it seems like, you know, they're speaking about what is a party. They're kind of saying, you know, what a party is right after, right? That that legislative construction, so how the legislature interpreted a constitutional provision, it's entitled to consideration. How does the legislature read it? We'd consider that a little bit. And if the construction, the legal interpretation of what's written in that constitution is contemporaneous, so it happens around the same time as the adoption of that constitutional provision, then it would be entitled to great weight. You would say, oh, well, it seems like this seemed to be their understanding at the time, right? I think for constitutional stuff, if the text is clear and unambiguous, then you follow the text. If there's some ambiguity, I think you can look to, you look to the time. Fuck, there's a better way to phrase this, but you look at like the time of like what was the understood thing at the time, and then there's a third thing, but I forgot the third thing. It's been a long time. I don't remember the shit. Not that any of this matters anyways, because judges will interpret whatever they want to based on how they want it to rule anyway, so who cares? The majority dismisses this statutory definition on the basis that it is a self-limiting statutory definition that cannot supersede the literal text, drafting history, historical context, and the unambiguous purpose of a constitutional provision. In reaching this conclusion, however, the majority misapprehends my argument. I'm not stating that the General Assembly's definitions take precedence over the majority's interpretation of Article 12, Section 1. Rather, I am simply stating that the General Assembly's definition informs the court as to the intended construction of a relevant term in Article 2, Section 1. Oh, text, history, and tradition. I think, okay. Similarly, this code makes it clear that early in-person voting is not part of an election. Under the plain language of the statute, early voting begins on the 45th day prior to any election and shall continue until 5 p.m. on the Saturday immediately preceding the election. Given that prior means preceding in time or order, Black's Law Dictionary, 1445, the most logical conclusion is that the General Assembly, page 1445, I think, the most logical conclusion is that the General Assembly meant for early voting to begin and end before the actual election took place, which is also consistent with what we read on the what we read on the election page on the website. Okay, sorry, hold on, somebody just. Fucking nerd found this book page. I'm just curious if it says anything about this change. By contrast, applying the majority's definition of election to the code creates a causality paradox. An election is a process that begins with early voting, but early voting must precede an election by 45 days. The majority's definition creates an infinite voting loop that appears to have no established beginning, only a definitive end, election day. Further, the majority also makes no mention of the two-day gap that begins at 5 p.m. on the Saturday immediately preceding the election, or its effects on the election process. During this time, the combined actions that the majority claims define the term election cannot take place as citizens are unable to cast votes during this time. Therefore, it is unclear how this period of time would be classified. Is the election held in abeyance? Does the election end and then restart? By limiting the term election to refer to a single day, as the framers of our Constitution and the General Assembly clearly intended, the infinite voting loop is avoided entirely, the two-day gap is of no consequence, and there is both a definitive beginning and end of an election, election day. My analysis is further guided by this court's admonishment that all actions of the General Assembly are presumed to be constitutional. And therefore, a statute will be construed in such a manner as to avoid a constitutional question wherever this is possible. In my opinion, a narrow construction of Code 24 is both reasonable and in perfect harmony with the entire Virginia Constitution. We will narrowly construe a statute where such a construction is reasonable and avoids a constitutional infirmity. The majority, however, not only disregards the General Assembly's exercise of its express power to make laws that regulate the time, place, manner, conduct, and administration of elections under Article 2, Section 4 of the Virginia Constitution, but it adopts a definition that is discordant with several other constitutional provisions. The cornerstone of constitutional interpretation is the presumption that the same meaning attaches to a given word or phrase which is repeated in a constitution. This is one of the reasons why it's so important to look to maybe other parts of a document to see like the repeating of a phrase, because it can sometimes clue you in more on like how a particular phrase is used. The Constitution must be viewed and construed as a whole, and every section, phrase, and word given effect and harmonized, if possible. Thus, the presumption that the same meaning attaches to a given word or phrase which is repeated in a Constitution, unless the contrary is made to appear, and hence the whole instrument should be examined to ascertain what that meaning is. Frequently, the meaning of one provision of the Constitution, standing by itself, may be obscured or uncertain, but is readily apparent when resort is had to other provisions of the same instrument. It is, therefore, an established canon of constitutional construction that no one provision of the Constitution is to be separated from all the others and to be considered alone, but that all the provisions bearing upon a particular subject are to be brought into view and interpreted as to effectuate the great purpose of the instrument. When considering the majority's broad definition of election in light of other provisions of our Constitution, it is even more apparent that the term can only refer to an event occurring on a single day. For example, Article 7, Section 4, specifically provides that regular elections for county and city officers shall be held on Tuesday after the first Monday in November. Notably, this provision does not state that county and city officers shall be elected on a specific day, as in Article 4, Sections 2 and 3. Rather, it specifies that the election shall be held on a single day. It is unclear how a provision specifically limiting an election to a single day can be harmonized with the majority's multi-day election scheme without fundamentally changing the plain language of Article 7, Section 4. The disharmony does not stop there, as the majority's definition of election will result in at least 90 days every year during which courts will significantly be hampered in their ability to hold trials. Article 2, Section 9 states, "No voter, during the time of holding an election, any election at which he is entitled to vote, shall be compelled to perform military service, except in time of war or public danger, nor to attend any court as suitor, juror, or witness, nor shall any voter be subject to arrest under any civil process during his attendance at election or in going to or returning therefrom." Wait, so he brought up this 90 days. They brought this up in the majority. How did they address this? Fuck, I feel like they put something in there. I feel like I remember reading this in the majority. They say quarter? They might have said 25%, actually. Yes, okay. The dissent next claims that our interpretation of Article 12, Section 1 would cause our courts to sit relatively idle for more than 25% of each year. The Commonwealth has never made this rather extreme argument in any of its 20-plus briefs and motions filed during the course of this litigation by any of the 16 attorneys representing the Commonwealth, because our colleagues in dissent, sua sponte, make it an issue. However, it is prudent for us to address it. Article 2, Section 9 of the Constitution provides, in part, that no voter during the time of holding any election in which he is entitled to vote shall be compelled to perform military... Okay, so they're recording this. This provision deals with compulsion that would cause a voter to lose the opportunity to vote. Some might argue... No, that's bullshit. Why are they adding their own language? It doesn't say that. That's not... This is a constitutional law. This is plain English. No voter during the time of holding any election at which he is entitled to vote shall be compelled to perform military service except in time of war or public danger, nor to attend any court as suitor, juror, or witness. Period. This provision deals with compulsion that would cause a voter to lose the opportunity to vote. That's bullshit. If you were going to take that interpretation, then you could just say that, well, actually, you can be held to do any of these things on election day as long as, like, the cops drive you to the voting booth first. What a bullshit reading. How can you just... This provision deals with compulsion that would cause voters to lose the opportunity to vote. Some might argue that this provision only precludes compulsion that would interfere with the voters' one-day access to the polls during the lawful period of election. Under this view, the voter could vote during the election period and Article 2, Section 9 would not be implicated. Others might argue, as the dissent speculates, see Post 36, that the compulsion is prohibited only as election day. To us, this clever argument is a story of the tail wagging the dog that has no tail. The textual and contextual meaning of Article 2, Section 9 was never addressed by the circuit court, never mentioned in any legal brief filed in this case, and not discussed during oral argument. Of the two arguable interpretations of the anti-compulsion policy, this is the second time they've brought up that the others, that the plaintiff or defense didn't bring this up. The parties, I don't know who sued who, but of the two arguable interpretations of the anti-compulsion policy embraced by Article 2, Section 9, neither one contradicts our belief that history confirms that election includes both ballot casting and ballot receipt. I think this is retarded, but okay. Another problem with the majority's approach is that it injects unnecessary confusion to the qualifications for state senators and delegates. Article 4, Section 4 provides any person may be elected to the Senate who, at the time of the election, is 21 years of age, is a resident of the senatorial district which he is seeking to represent, and is qualified to vote for members of the General Assembly. Any person may be elected to the House of Delegates who, at the time of the election, is 21 years of age, is a resident of the House district which he is seeking to represent. Oh, so does that mean, can you early vote for somebody who's not 21 yet, but will be when the election is at its final day? Because that would also seem to indicate that it's a single day that's being pointed to by the Constitution, not a time span. By extending the meaning of election to encompass a 45-day period, it raises the question. Oh, and he said raises instead of begs the question. Good job. When must a candidate be 21 years of age under Article 4, Section 4? Obviously, if a candidate turns 21 on or before the day early voting begins, they qualify. But what if the candidate turns 21 on election day or sometime between the start of early voting and election day? Must the candidate be 21 for a majority of the election period? The answer is unclear. In contrast, the term election is given what I believe to be the most commonly understood definition. The meaning of Article 4, Section 4 is easily harmonized with the remainder of our Constitution. A candidate must be 21 years old on election day, which is when the election is held. It's also worth noting that the majority's definition of election is derived in part from a line of cases explicitly holding that an election is limited to a single day. In Foster v. Love, the United States Supreme Court recognizes, as the majority points out, that an election refers to the combined actions of voters and officials meant to make a final selection of an office holder. Every federal circuit court that has applied the combination action approach has concluded that early voting is not considered part of the election. This is due to the fact that during early voting, there is no combined action to make the final selection of an office holder. Indeed, only the voters are taking any action. It is only on election day that election officials are able to act. Thus, there can be no combined action until election day. An election under the federal statute requires more than just voting, and the early voting statutes do not create a regime of combined actions meant to make a final selection on any day other than the federal election day. Allowing some voters to cast votes for election day does not contravene the federal election statutes of the final election. Okay. Bro, I'm not reading this. All this shit, okay? Does it say anything relevant? Give me the page. Did you scan this? Or what the fuck? Or was this, did you just find the scan somewhere else? The book is so old, only scanned versions are available in PDF. Good one. I don't care. Okay, we're good. By including early voting into its definition of election, the majority goes beyond the combined action theory of Foster. In doing so, it appears the majority's definition of election would run afoul of federal election law. The United States Supreme Court explicitly recognized that 2 U.S.C. sections 1, 7, and 3 U.S.C. law mandate holding all elections for Congress and the presidency on a single day throughout the Union. Although states are given a wide discretion in the formulation of a system for the choice of the people. Oh, okay. Ooh, wait, I wonder if they could challenge it on federal grounds there. Are they challenging this in the Supreme Court? Or I feel like I saw it. Didn't they make a statement where they're like, we accept the court cucking us hard? It's further telling that no other state has adopted a multi-day election scheme that the majority claims Virginia has apparently been operating under for decades. Fascinating. I asked about this. Can't the Dems argue under Moore v. Harper that the Virginia Supreme Court redefined what general election meant against its settled meaning in the U.S. Constitution under federal statute and Virginia's own election code, which goes beyond the ordinary bounds of judicial review? Maybe. I don't know. That's the argument the dissenting judge is making here, right? But I thought I read that, like, the Virginia people were just going to say, fuck it. We got fucked. So fuck it all. Poggers. Okay. Well, they intend to appeal the decision, but the question is if SCOTUS will hear it this term, if at all, because they're at the end of their current term. What the fuck does that mean? Do they only work like 5 months out of the year? What? All right. A private call reveals Democrats' desperation over tossing of map. A conversation involving House members from Virginia and the top Democrat and the top House Democrat reflected the fury and desperation that has gripped the party after Friday's ruling in the state. Democrats are struggling to respond to a major redistricting setback in Virginia, with some party leaders discussing an audacious and possibly far-fetched idea for trying to restore a congressional map voided by the court, but showing little indication they have a clear plan. During a private discussion on Saturday that included Democratic House members from Virginia and Representative Hakeem Jeffries of New York, the minority leader, the lawmakers vented anger at their defeat at the Virginia Supreme Court, spoke about a collective determination to flip two or three Republican-held seats under the existing map, and discussed a bankshot proposal to redraw the congressional lines anyway, according to three people who participated in the call and two others who were briefed on it. They did not land on a specific course forward, and Mr. Jeffries and the other members of Congress agreed to consult with their lawyers about the most prudent way to proceed, said the people who spoke on the condition of anonymity to describe a private talk. Agreed to consult with their lawyers about the most prudent way to proceed, said the people who spoke on the condition of anonymity to describe a private talk. The conversation reflected the desperation and fury that have gripped the party after the state Supreme Court struck down a federal map that had been ratified by voters. The most dramatic idea they discussed, which would involve an unusual gambit to replace the entire state Supreme Court with the goal of reinstating their gerrymandered map, drew mixed reactions on the call, said the people, and it was not clear that it would even be viable or palatable to Governor Abigail Spanberger and Democrats in the Virginia General Assembly. Replace the whole Supreme Court? That's wild. Who the fuck do you think you are? Republicans? Who would do it if they could? What was the court they just packed? What state am I thinking of? There was a state Supreme Court, a few months ago, I think, where they added three justices to it. Was it Utah? The Utah legislature passed a bill in January of 2026 to expand the Utah Supreme Court from 5 to 7 justices. Convenient. The Republicans got to add two more judges onto that court, huh? And he plans to enact a new congressional map for this year's midterm elections, would require action in the next few days. Blah, 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 blah. I don't care about this. Fuck, this all sucks shit. We had the wind at our backs after California. And then after, it was one other state. And now I feel like we're pretty behind on it all now. But I could be wrong. I'm not sure. Jesus. Was it after Virginia? Did we feel good after Virginia before it was challenged on the courts? Pretty crazy. This race to the bottom. We are fine anyway. It's not about it being fine anyway. It's like, imagine you're going to have a fight with somebody and you pay some people to like shoot them with like 10 AR-15 bullets first before you have the fight. You're expecting this guy to be dead, 10 shots. And then imagine you show up and the dude's got like a pretty bloodied nose and you're like, bruhs, I paid for 10 shots. And you're like, I mean, he's kind of fucked up, right? And it's like, well, sure, but go, you got 20 seconds. I'm fucking tired.
Hello. Oh, yeah. I just want to add that they could have struck this down in February of this year, and they chose to let the referendum go.
Well, it sounded like the case law they were citing had legitimate reasons to allow the referendum to continue on.
It's definitely just activism. Like, they, every state, the federal government, they all define what an election is.
Like, well, sure, I agree with that. I think the ruling was bad, but it seemed like there was pretty clear case law precedent that says that the court doesn't have the jurisdiction to intervene in the amendment process until the amendment is actually adopted by the voting base. That seemed to be, as cringe as that is, it seemed to be pretty fair. But I agree that the ruling is cringe. But
just Article 12, Section 1 is just crystal clear. And if the shoe were on the other foot, they would be like laughing it off, saying, oh, they intended for election day, not election month.
Sure, I agree. The ruling is cringe, 100%. I think all of it is. And it seems to fly in, it flies in contrary to their own constitution, their own laws, and U.S. law. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely cringe.
Yeah. I cover ballot measures frequently, and this is just flagrantly retarded.
Yeah, I agree. but that's okay. But
if you do more redistricting stuff tomorrow, I could hop in. I got a lot.
Okay. All
right.
I love you. Be careful, buddy.
Love you.
All right. I love you guys. I'll be back tomorrow. Stay safe. Or stay safe. Be careful. Ribbon, cappuccino, papuccino, cappuccino, papuccino, cappuccino, 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 cappuccino,